主の彼方に光る星、青い地球は。
Hello, friends, and welcome to BBS Radio. I'm broadcasting today from Lafayette, California, with my wonderful friends Doug and Don.At BBS Radio Station 1 in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. Today I have my good friend Simon Parks coming on live with us today from England, and I know we'll have a wonderful interview. I want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful love and support, and for their support of Out of This World Radio. The purpose of this show is to make this world a better place, and I know that if we all work together, we can make this world much better and happier place.On today's show, I'll be interviewing Simon from now through 12 noon from England. And then from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, I'll be doing prayers and meditation for world peace, which I think it's a good time to do it. Every Saturday, I try to do this at 11 a.m., which is an angelic number. So we'll have some fun. You know, we're all powerful spiritual beings meant to create a much better and happier place. And I know that we can create a much better and happier world.Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit listener-supported radio program. And if you'd like to donate, it's just $5 a month or $50 for the year. You can go to my website at outofthisworldradio.net. And there's two little PayPal buttons if you'd like to donate. I'm also broadcasting now on WWNN on four different radio stations in Miami, Florida on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time.And in addition to that, I'm also broadcasting every other Monday now in Vienna, Austria, on Radio Soul International, covering most of Austria, Eastern Switzerland, as well as Southern Germany. And if you'd like to listen to those programs, please go to my website at outofthisworldradio.net for more broadcasting information. Also, I've been in touch with the other side for the past 25 years, and if any one of you would like a reading, I'm happy to do that. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to talk to the other side. And if you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I've also written a book called Messages from the Masters with messages from Albert Einstein, Dwight D. Eisenhower, President Kennedy, and Nostradamus, and other great spirits on our beautiful, bright future. And if you'd like a copy, it's just $20 and includes a free brief reading from me. And just please send me an email if you're interested.I've also been, I know many of you have ordered the books. There was a backlog. I've sent out 150 books in the past week. I've also sent out dozens and dozens of tuning forks. More are on the way. These are 528 hertz tuning forks. They're the frequency of love. And it comes with a Lemurian crystal. When you hit the two together, you spread love everywhere. So it's a beautiful little gift for someone if you like. And if you'd like one, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And with that, I'd like to bring on my friend Simon. Simon, how are you doing today, my friend?
Hello, Ted. I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
Very pleased to be back on the show.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you're here. Well, my goodness, Simon, there's so much going on. It's hard to know where to start. You know, on your blog, actually, let me ask you, Simon, where would you like to start today? I've got lots of things to talk about, but
I don't mind, Ted. It's such a crazy world. You can just start wherever you want.
All right. Okay. All right. Good. Well, first things first, you've just retained a lawyer, and lawyers aren't cheap, to sue the BBC. Mm-hmm. And I know you can't discuss the details of the case for privacy, but just a rough overview. And then I'd like to ask everyone to help you out, to send you a contribution. Myself, I'll be sending you $100 today.
Oh, that's really kind of you, Ted. Thank you.
My pleasure. If I had $1 million just lying around, I'd give you that, but I don't. But $100, I'm going to send you that today. So,
very kind.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. So, could tell us a little bit about what's involved and why you've done that. So,
all over the planet, big corporations, big news media are used to walking on people. If you're not part of the rich and famous, if you're not part of the cabal, if you're not part of the status quo, then they think you're fair game and they'll attack you. And you're right, I can't go into huge detail, but I will give an overview. There was a program in which they discussed me, and then they repeated the program, and they made a number of factual inaccuracies. And nobody even bothered to get a quote from me or get my opinion. They didn't even tell me the show was going out. Mm-hmm. So this is really important for the spiritual community, because if we can strike a blow for truth, I can't say democracy, but if we can strike a blow for truth and freedom, then it might have an effect upon these large organizations who are incredibly taken up in their own importance. Mm-hmm. And that we can show that actually, you know, the little man fighting against the great giant, it's not always a done deal. Mm-hmm. So I could have just have ignored it. But I thought, no, if I look back the 10 years ago, Ted, when I decided to go public, I did so because I had a story to tell. And why would I let this huge faceless machine walk over me? So, yeah, I've retained a lawyer, and any pennies or dollars that, or pounds anyone can send is great, because it's going to be a very interesting battle, Ted. It really is. And there might be some of your listeners, Ted, who have seen that show. They might have heard of it. So you know, that's what we're fighting for. We're fighting for truth and freedom.
Okay, Simon, how do they send it to you? Through PayPal, or what's the best way? Snail mail? What do you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some really lovely people who want to mail me checks, but unfortunately, the way that the cabal, the elite is now, do you know, I can't even. Somebody sent me a check for $50, and it was not a handwritten check, Ted. It was a proper printed check. Bank wouldn't even cash it because it didn't have the right numbers on it.
I see.
So unfortunately, the only way is through my website, simonparks.org. There's a PayPal button, and you just hit that. It's a donate button.
Okay.
There isn't any other way of doing it, I'm afraid.
I didn't tell you this before, Simon, but I think I'll tell you now what happened. It was a couple of months ago. I received this interesting email from the UK saying what a terrible person you were. And apparently they knew that we're friends and, you know, you're on my show frequently. And I ignored it. I think it was rubbish. But I think it may be part of the situation you're facing. And I'll send you a copy when I get a chance later today.
Yeah, I would. It is part of the same situation. It's all part of it. And I would be really grateful if you could send it to me, because I would send that on to the lawyer.
Okay. Now that it's taking a legal area, I'll send it to you after we get off the air. Yeah,
that's very kind of you.
It was rubbish, but you know, with most rubbish, you throw it in the can. So
I think I don't know who was firing off who, but yeah, you know, it's time for spiritual people to, I think, you know, to do something. And I've always said that, you know, I wasn't going to be pushed around. I don't advocate violence. I've never advocated violence. Sure. And you know, the system is the system, and it's designed to protect itself. Right. But sometimes, you know, we might get lucky breaks. So let's see what happens.
Yeah. Good. That's great, Simon. Well, there's so many different topics we can talk about today. One of the ones on your most recent Connecting Consciousness video, you talked about how interesting it was that the lockdowns in many, many states here in the States ends on November 5th, the day after the federal elections.
Yeah.
For example, here in Seattle, the Seattle area in Washington State, our lockdown ends on November 5th. And I tell my friends, and they look at me incredulously, and I say, well, it's obviously the virus now is political. And, you know, and I don't know anybody who's had the virus where I live personally. And most people I talk to think all these lockdowns are a joke. And actually, there was a federal judge who ruled two and a half weeks ago that all the masks and the social restrictions put in by effect by our Washington governor here, Inslee, were completely illegal. Of course, not word of that was in the press, but it is coming out. People are asking a lot of questions now why it's happening. So
I think the thing is that if we understand that the Democrats, and I'm afraid we do have to be political here, I don't like having to do this, because I actually see President Trump as a non-political figure. I think President Trump would you know, verbally have a go at anybody, regardless of their political views, if he didn't like them. But nevertheless, he is under the Republican banner. And I think that the Democrats are so convinced that Trump is going to lose the election that they are planning everything for that. And so, as you quite rightly said, in a number of states where the Democrats are governors, it's very odd that they believe the virus will end magically after November the 3rd. So you're right, the 3rd, the 4th, and then the 5th. So why would it make any difference between the 2nd of November and the 5th of November? And you've hit the nail on the head, Ted. It's become a political weapon.
Sure, sure. Many years ago, I heard that George Soros actually owns the election counting companies here in the United States. So for our federal elections, it's not even done by a government. It's contracted out to a private company owned by George Soros. And from what I was told, Simon, is the votes are actually electronically counted in Spain, not in the United States. In Spain, of course, in World War II, nothing against Spain, a beautiful country, beautiful people, but it was an ally of Adolf Hitler, which I thought is interesting. So it's amazing. I think, Ted, I
hear you. And I think what's perhaps an interesting take on this would be that you cannot stand to be elected as president unless you are either an American citizen, I think it's natural born citizen, or maybe if you are, you know, you're given that citizenship. So why is it then that they're counting these votes in a non-American country to elect an American? I mean, it's just outrageous. Can you imagine China or Russia having an election and then the votes being counted in the US and then the results being sent back to China or Russia? It just wouldn't occur. And so you'd have to ask yourself, why would George Soros or anybody else want that when the technology in America is the best in the world and could have been done there and then? And again, you know, when President Trump says he's concerned about possible, vote rigging, well, you know, you've got to think, well, maybe he's got a point.
Someone just sent you a donation of $100 or £75. That's nice.
That's so kind. That's probably you, Ted.
No, I haven't had time.
Bless you.
Well, there was something interesting along that vein I wanted to tell people about briefly today. I won't go too much into it, but of course we have a system of public lands here in the United States owned by the federal government on behalf of the American public. And in our statutory scheme, it says that they're managed for the benefit of the American people. Well, back in 1995, President Clinton created a private corporation that's now partially owned by the Chinese, which regulates camping on all public lands in the United States. And they control now, I think it's illegal, if you look at the statutes, what the statutory requirements are, they now control much of the camping in the United States and access to public lands. This is a whole can of worms. It's been in effect for many years. No one's questioned it. But I plan to contact the Trump administration and Attorney General Barr about it. On the face, it looks completely illegal.
Well, again, it's the question, why in the name of goodness would you have any country that's not American saying where Americans can or cannot camp? I mean, it's just nonsensical. And, you know, there is a bit of truth when Trump says that previously bits of America were being sold off. And what you've given is a real piece of evidence that non-American companies have been buying into apple pie.
Right.
And that just takes away the dream that America once had.
It's shocking, really. It took me some time on the internet to find it.
Yeah, I can believe it. I can well believe it.
Yeah.
We have an interesting bit of news is that I went to in Tibet. I know you have a big knowledge of the East, and the monks from Tibet contacted me some while ago and said that they wanted to do a blessing for me because they felt there was a lot of bad stuff coming, you know, to my country in the next few months ahead. I just wanted to report that I did have the blessing, and I will have to send you a picture, Ted, that you might want to put up if you get time. But the temple was in Britain. We went to the head office temple, and the guy who's in charge there did do a blessing. and it was there was a big Buddha statue, and it was non-religious and nothing to do with religion. Basically, what I understand was that they wanted to support what they call light workers throughout the United Kingdom, who they felt were trying to fight against the evil. And they felt that there was a lot of evil on its way. And so I was very, very honored a couple of weeks ago to go up to this temple and to have the blessing. And they were very, very sweet. Nice. And they were very kind. And it was a great honor.
Nice.
And there was another guy getting a blessing there. And he was the leader of a bike group. And he had sworn to protect the temple because we're feeling in the United Kingdom there might be some serious issues coming. And it was very interesting how a number of what Americans will call patriots. We don't use that word in Great Britain, but it's the equivalent of that, are suddenly being identified or are coming forward and are saying, you know, not going to hide anymore or not going to sit in the chair, I'm going to do something.
Sure.
And I just look and I think there's a lot happening. And I just want to finish this off because it's a funny thing. And you, of all people, will get this, Ted.
Okay.
The head of the spiritual church in Tibet is called the Lama. And Lama means enlightened one. Now, before you audience tell me off, I know that a Lama animal comes from South America. But the word Lama means in Tibetan, I understand, as enlightened. Now, as I was driving on our freeway, which we call a motorway, towards the temple, there was a little footbridge. And can you believe this? At the very moment that my car just went under the footbridge, there were two people leading llamas on a bit of string. Now, that's just absolutely incredible. So I knew that what I was doing was getting a little nod, or as we say in Great Britain, you know, tip of the head saying you're doing the right thing. So I do take a lot of strength from the earth. I do take strength from truth. And that, you know, these little signs, I think, do give us a lot of confidence, because it's a very difficult world out there sometimes, Ted.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And as my friend Albert Einstein has told me many times, we live in a deterministic universe and God doesn't play with dice. So those llamas there were meant to be there. And it wasn't a coincidence. So and that's a wonderful omen.
I mean, you know, there's it's a busy, you know, main road, a big road. And there's just a little footbridge and just, you know, two people, two llamas on a bit of string. The chances, A, of that happening, and B, at that very moment that my car is just going under the bridge,
right,
I knew that it was not coincidence.
You know, I have to tell you this, Simon, for those of you on the computer looking at our interview today, there's all this beautiful white light coming in into the top crown of your head, Simon. So you're getting up a lot of angelic help today.
Oh, thank goodness. Well, we need it, Ted. It's a challenging world.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. One thing, you know, Dr. Emoto, I love his work. And he showed years ago that we are powerful spiritual beings. And we can create a beautiful world if we want. As an example, here's from his little children's book. This is a love and gratitude crystal. And he created this by just writing the words love and gratitude on a glass of water. And on the electron microscope level, all these beautiful crystals formed.
I've heard of that, but I've never seen the pictures, Ted.
Oh, okay.
Hold up. I've never seen the pictures.
Okay.
They're so intricate. Aren't they intricate?
Okay. Yeah, they're very beautiful. Actually, I'll send you a book. I'll send you a book this week.
That's really lovely. And I know this is a book of enlightenment, but is there, because I know that he wrote some bad things and then he took pictures. Is there anything to show the difference, or is that book just about good things?
Oh, absolutely. I'll give you
I just want to see, just to show the audience as well.
Yeah, I want to thank Michiko Hayashi of the Modal Peace Project for giving me these books, because that's where I got them from. This is one from You Fool. You see that? That one there, it's all kind of, just kind of wrapped around, actually. Ooh. And
there's no consistency. It's all broken down, hasn't it?
It's all broken down. But generally speaking, if you say negative thoughts or negative thoughts to a glass of water, it breaks it down. And he actually did an experiment with a cup of a bottle of radioactive water. And this is what it looked like. On the electron microscope level in my book, of the molecules all disjoint. It looks like bacteria. That's the radiation.
Yes, it does.
Water there. And so what he did, there's an important experiment. He did this back in the 90s. What he did is that he wrote the words love and gratitude on the bottle of radioactive water. And within 48 hours, this is what the water looked like, these beautiful crystals in it. And the radiation was gone, completely gone. And
Ted, do you think this is why he lost his life? Do you think this is why?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
He was bringing to the attention of the world the real power that humans have.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. There was I can't say too much about it, but his death was not natural. So.
Well, I think all the people in the spiritual world, we're very suspicious over anything that is reported now. Whenever the mainstream media reports something as a done deal, we immediately think, I'm not sure about that.
Right, right. The good thing, though, the positive message from Dr. Emoto's work is that we can create a beautiful and better world by just sending love and light. And if we send love and light, for example, to everyone suffering today around the world, we can create world peace. We can create a much better and happier planet. And that's why I'm going to be doing the prayers and meditation during the second hour, because I know we can make a difference, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's a lot more light workers than there are dark workers on the planet. And if we all band together and pool our collective energies, we can create a better world. And I know that.
I've never doubted that. And I think people like you, me, and there are plenty others like us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because we don't ever give up that belief that we keep going. And we don't do it because we have to. We do it because we actually believe in what we're doing. Now, people who are on the wrong side, the evil people, they must be so miserable, Ted. You know, every morning they've got to get out of bed and they've got to gee themselves up, as we say in Great Britain. And how do you gee yourself up if you're just thinking evil thoughts? I mean, you know, they must have a terrible life, Ted. And really and truly, they should just repent it all and just go and be, you know, just an average guy, because they'll be happier for it.
Yeah, that's true. And I think a lot of negative people are realizing that now, that their negative ways aren't really doing anybody any good anymore. And I think there's still a great spiritual transformation going on, in spite of all our challenges, in spite of the lockdown, in spite of our many, many problems here on the planet. Things are getting better.
I do agree. I think it's harder for a bad person now than it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago. I think they're coming up against more challenges and more times to reflect and look at themselves and, mm-hmm. you know, more examples of goodness on the earth. And I think that perhaps a few years ago, these bad people could have just lived a life of badness. but now, of course, they keep bumping up against quite the opposite. And it's all about education, isn't it? And, you know, one of the reasons that I want to do this with the BBC is I want to educate them to say, you can't go doing this to people anymore. You know, the days of the great lord and the serf and the slave are gone. You know, we can't live like that anymore. So, you know, maybe in years to come, Ted, you and I will look back on these days and we'll realize that we'd actually already turned the corner, but we didn't realize.
President Kennedy told me a couple of months ago that at the start of this this virus thing, in January of this year, there was about 65% of positive light coming from planet Earth, which is good, because on balance, it was over 50%.
Yes.
Now it's up to 85 to 90%. And what's happened is that, sure, it's been challenging. Many people have lost their jobs. And in that sense, it's not a pleasant time. But so many people have exhibited compassion and helping toward each other, humanity, in these difficult times, that the amount of positive light coming from the planet has now risen to about 90%. And that's about a 35% increase since January. So there are good things happening in spite of our challenges. Good things are happening. So
I know it sounds a bit hard or funny to say, but I think it's easier to do good work now than it was previously. Mm-hmm. I actually think that people are being motivated to do good work, because maybe they're aware of this unseen hand that's moving around them, making life difficult. And although they don't want to take to the street and smash up a store, what they might want to do is to say that I will live my life in the way that I think is right. Mm-hmm. And that means that all their co-workers or their family or their friends will begin to see them, you know, modeling mm-hmm. a new way of living. And I think that's what will happen with this frequency rise, mm-hmm. that we are modeling and we will be a new type of human. And what I mean by that is our perceptions and our way of dealing with each other will actually change, Ted. And sure. the way that we value people will change. Mm-hmm. That's what's so important.
1 week from today, my next broadcast will be from Mount Shasta, California, which is now shifting into the fourth and then into the fifth dimension. I always feel like I'm floating in air when I'm down there. And we also have many miracle healings that occur too. But what's interesting about Shasta is one of the first places shifting into the fifth dimension now. Wow. And within the next 2 or 3 years, the rest of the planet will also shift. It's going to be a very different and much better world than we have now. For tens of thousands of years, what's called the Schumann resonance, Simon, was at 7.8 hertz until about September 2016. During that month, 4 years ago, it doubled to 13.8 hertz, and it's done nothing but go up, up, and away since that time. Currently, the frequency rate around Shasta is above, there are parts above 500 hertz. And the frequency of love is 528 hertz, as on this tuning fork here. And so this is a shift.
So Ted, sorry, forgive me for getting in there, but what happens when the frequency of 528 of the Earth, not just in Shasta or anywhere else, but when there's a critical mass, when it reaches 528, what's going to happen?
People who are already positive will start communicating telepathically. Right. They won't need to speak as much. They can still speak. They won't need to eat as much. Colors which are red will appear redder, like the behind me. Blues will be bluer, greens will be greener, yellow will be yellower. The whole need for example, regulatory authority over people like police will become far less important, because everybody's mind will be like an open book. And if someone, for example, has committed a crime, all the police have to do, or an attorney or a judge has to do, is look at somebody, and they'll tell instantaneously whether that person is guilty or innocent. So crime should come down. Government will become smaller, because people will know how to act, and we won't have to control people. Like if you look at a flock of birds or a herd of geese, they know what to do. They don't have a government telling them. There's not like a bird police that tells the birds what to do. So, and we humans all have that within us as well. And most people have that. So I'm looking at a higher vibrational planet, and it's happening. Actually, the whole solar system is shifting into a higher vibration. And Earth is the last planet of this solar system to shift into the higher vibrations. And it's happening right now as we speak. For those of you, for those who can't handle or don't want to go to the high vibrations, there's another planet on the other side of the solar system that's in the lower third dimension, and they'll go there to work up their karma so that one day they can ascend as well. But this is an opportunity for all of us to ascend now. And as President Kennedy has repeatedly told me, don't leave your neighbor behind. Try to raise their consciousness. And that's what you do in your programs too. You raise consciousness and give people strength and positive hope for the future, because we have a beautiful future ahead of us. We're almost there, frankly. And some say the planet Earth has already shifted, and humanity now on the surface is just kind of like keeping up or catching up now. So,
I think the shift, I don't think we have. I think we're on the path. I think it's, you know, I think you probably agree with me, Ted, that we are. We're on that process. I don't think we've made it yet. I certainly think we're on that process.
Yeah.
And I know it's truth, because when I look back through history books, and how easy it was for governments of all persuasions to keep the truth from the people, how easy it was for governments to lie. Now look how difficult it is. It's so difficult for anybody in office to lie, because people know immediately. And, you know, we're not even there yet. So once we've reached that 528 or whatever it was for the love resonance,
right.
It should be a dynamic change, I think.
It is. And it's going to be an incredibly beautiful and bright future. All of the messages given to me by my spirit friends in my book that I wrote, Messages from the Masters, have come true. They told me, for example, back in 2015, that there would be no war, nuclear war with, or any kind of conflict with North Korea. And they were absolutely right. And they wanted me to get their messages out because they were tired of it, of the lies and of the media. Focusing on doom and gloom. Even today in our country here, you can turn on almost any television show or any radio outlet from the major media, and the first thing they talk about is how many people have died from the COVID virus, even though I think it's been greatly exaggerated. I'm not saying people haven't gotten sick from it. I know people have gotten sick from it and probably died from it, but it's not nearly the numbers that they say it is. And at any rate, and then... Yeah, so
I think so. I mean, what I understand, I don't know about in America, but in Britain, is that when a person dies for anything, they test them. And if the virus is present, even if they fell off a ladder, they'll say they died of the virus. So,
right. So
yes, there is a virus. There's no question of it. And yes, people are dying of the virus. Absolutely. Right. But the numbers are not accurate. They're no way accurate.
Right.
And I've seen some black and white pictures in Great Britain taken in 1968. And in 1968, we had what was called the Hong Kong flu.
Yeah.
And more people died in the Hong Kong flu than have died of this virus. But there was no lockdown, mm-hmm. So, you know, there's some serious questions. Other people, historians or politicians or what in the future have to ask about the time we're living in now,
right.
What really was going on? What was the real agenda here? And I hope that not too long in the future, this will all become very transparent. And then we can see who was playing us for fools and who actually was being truthful with us.
There is a psychological component as well for people who are locked down, especially among many young people. This was months ago, back in April and May, but I heard in my own state here in Washington State that the numbers of young people like high school age, 18, 19, 20, committing suicide had increased by 800 to 1,000% because the kids had nothing to do. They were just stuck at home all the time.
Horrible.
And that's something, and that's far more than any virus tests, but they don't talk about that. And it's sad because these poor kids are stuck at home. A lot of school children are stuck at home too, with no social interaction. I've seen some of the classrooms that they have for kids now in our state, and they have the poor kids wearing masks, and then they're separated by 6 feet, and then they have these plastic square shelters over them. The kids are going to be so screwed up psychologically when this is all done. Everyone forgets about what's happened in Sweden, Taiwan, and Mexico. Those three countries were never shut down. They didn't have the numbers of corona deaths and viruses, sickness that we've had here, because they got herd immunity by exposing each other, and they didn't wreck their economies either.
Well, so, I think also, Ted, when people died, they were more truthful of what they actually died of.
Sure, right, yeah.
The other thing that is you know, happening in New Zealand, where you have to wear a mask when you're in a motor car. So if you're on your own, there's no kids with you, you're on your own, you have to have a mask. Now, you know, what sort of a world are we living in? Surely to goodness, the people will realize that this is just a farcical, you know. And so I think that there comes a point where people will say enough is enough. And I don't want people to take silly risks or do anything stupid. But I do think that there comes a point where your freedom actually needs to be fought, and in a way, I suppose, with the BBC, that's what I'm doing. I'm fighting for freedom. I'm fighting to stand up to the system. And I think that perhaps in many countries now, people are beginning to show their displeasure. So I think that the lockdown in most Western countries actually can't get any worse. It has to be relaxed now.
Yeah. Well, you may not have heard this in the news, but about a month ago, a little more than a month ago, California Governor Newsom, some of my friends in California call him Governor Nuisance. Anyway, Governor Newsom outlawed singing in churches, citing the virus. Nobody could understand why. Our own governor here, Governor Inslee in Washington State, outlawed fishing back in March. Huge public outcry. We have lots of lakes here and places to fish. So everybody, he finally relented, but it doesn't make any sense. No, personally, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, politically it does, because a lot of people who are deeply religious are very concerned about the politics of the Democrats. And so I can see how that would be designed to hurt the Republicans. It would be designed to hurt the Patriots, because if you think about church going, it's a lot of people who are very connected to the history, connected to a belief system, mm-hmm. whatever that might be. Right. And I think that if you're in a big, big city in America, probably a little church that has 250 congregations somewhere in the Midwest or somewhere, it isn't very important to you. So I can understand how some of these Democratic governors are completely out of touch with the communities outside of the concrete and the tarmac and, you know, the shopping malls. I can just see that sure. it's a part of America that they're not interested in.
One question my friends have been asking me for months now, Simon, at the beginning of this pandemic, back, I don't know, March time, our governor here shut down all small businesses, but yet kept the big box stores open like Walmart, Costco, nothing against them. But those stores alone process thousands of people, many thousands, tens of thousands of people per month. And so logically, they asked themselves, how could a small little business, a grocery store that maybe had three people in it, how is that a threat compared to a big box store that maybe had 10,000 people come through in a month? Logically, the big box store would be more of a threat than the small businesses, but a lot of small businesses, most small businesses were shut down, and many of those now are going bankrupt because they still can't open in Washington. Many of them can't open except without spending a lot of money for social distancing and masks sure. and stuff. So sure. It doesn't seem to be equitable in terms of, and doesn't.
No, make I think it's very short-sighted, because I can understand, as an ex-lawmaker myself, I can understand, I think, what those governors have done. They've looked and said the amount of, I don't know quite in America, but in Great Britain, a business pays a special tax. Individuals pay tax, but a business pays a special tax. And they probably looked and thought, well, these big stores, these big, huge going concerns, they're probably worth 100 small, you know, small businesses. So right. we don't care about small businesses. We want to keep the big boys going because they're the ones that pay money that we use for our administration to keep the state running. So it's probably more to do with money. So I would think that the whole way they've dealt with it is not about people's lives or their aspirations or what's good for them. It's probably just about how much money can come in through the governor's office. That's yeah. probably it.
Well, there's another side of it too. For small businesses, if you have people who are economically independent, even if they're not making hardly any money in a small business, they still have economic and social independence
yes.
rather than being part of a large government or a corporation group. And I yeah. think for Americans, we value our independence. That's why we created our country to be yeah. free. And I think that's the other part of it too, where they're destroying small businesses so that we become part of a larger group and don't feel as free or as independent.
Well, it was, of course, Independence Day. And right. if you think about the way that you express, I guess, as an American, it's because you create something which brings you in the money so that you can live in a certain lifestyle that means you don't have to go on the food stamps. You don't have to do right. that. And right. you may not be driving this year's car, but at least you probably can send your kids to education and you can do all the things you need to do. And I thought that was what's called the American dream.
Right.
That's what I thought it was. But the right. way it appears in some parts of America is that that isn't what they want anymore. They don't want a dream. It seems that they want to make everyone feel guilty for the history of America.
Right.
And as a result of that, it's everyone supposed to be quite numb or dumbed down or quite, oh dear, you know, I shouldn't be American. It's, you know, I've got so much on my conscience. The reality is that if you don't do it, China will do it.
That's true.
China is not going to have any concern. China has got thousands of people locked away in the most terrible prisons.
Yeah.
And why aren't people demonstrating outside the Chinese embassy
Absolutely.
In America saying, you are treating people in an inhumane way? Why right. why are they attacking small businesses in America? And it's because it's all about politics, and politics is sick. It's mm-hmm. it's sick because it gets in the way. This is going to sound funny. Politics gets in the way of good government. Mm. That's the truth. Because well, good government is doing what's right for the people. Politics is about what's doing right for you.
Uh-huh, right. Yeah, that makes total sense. I was approached 2 months ago by six U.S. presidents at 3:00 in the morning.
Oh, you didn't get any sleep then?
Not that night, no. They wanted me to take notes on saving the republic. It was Presidents Jefferson, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Roosevelt, John Quincy Adams, Jefferson, who else? There was a whole string of U.S. presidents, and they were extremely concerned about the riots happening across the United States. They said, we've got to save this Constitution. We have to save the Republic. They didn't, and George Washington too, they didn't fight, and they didn't put all the effort that they did into the country back 200 years ago or 100 years ago or 50 years ago with John F. Kennedy, just to have it burn up in a bunch of riots because some mayors of some cities decided just to go along with the rioters and let everything burn down. I've been emphasizing that on my program. This freedom is something that's not, you have to often fight for. And this is what is the time for fighting is now, to stand up for your rights. There's still, Portland, Oregon, for example, is still burning. They still have nightly riots there. Many businesses are leaving. Seattle's downtown is awful. Ted,
what is going to happen? I mean, I don't know. November the 3rd, of course, the presidency's up. But aren't there a number of mayors and governors also up for re-election at this time? Is that how it works?
There are. And our governor here in Washington State, Inslee, is up for re-election. But he hardly has any support. But yet in the primary election held about a month ago, he allegedly got 52% of the primary vote, which many people are skeptical about. Again, when George Soros is controlling the voting and they send the ballots to be counted in Spain, what else do you expect? He doesn't seem to have strong support, but yet, you know, if you can control the narrative on the election, you can alter the results. So I think that's what happened. But
well,
many governors are up for election. Yeah.
Well, it will be interesting because according to, you know, the main media, everything's okay and fine. But those people, and I've said it before on your show, Ted, those people that have seen it with their own eyes, they're not going to vote for that governor who they believe has left them high and dry. So
right.
It'll be very interesting from a British person
right.
looking in to
right.
see what happens. Because, Ted, I might be totally wrong. Portland and Washington State and all of the others may just re-elect the same governors and mayors, in which case, you know, what can you do? But on the other hand, there actually might be a very interesting result where people are not going to do what the main media tells them, and they're going to do what's right for their life. I mean, you know, you make decisions for yourself, for your family, hopefully for your friends. You don't do what the media tell you, you do what's right for you. And this is surely where people are going to see, well, the media is telling me to do one thing,
right.
but actually that's at odds with my own life. And I want to see what happens on November the 3rd. I'm really keen to find out.
Yeah. Well, one thing, I wasn't going to say anything, but I think I will now. And in our own state, $2 billion, that's with a B as in boy, $2 billion were allegedly sent out of our Employment Security Department to criminals in Nigeria. That happened earlier this year. And as a result of that, state of Washington employees now are furloughed. It's either one day a week. That's what I last heard, was one day a week, with a 15% pay cut across the board. No, 18% pay cut across the board. And Governor Inslee himself has just decreed a 15% increase for his own pay, with a 15% increase for the pay of all state judges in the state. Now, he's got about at least a dozen to 15 or 20 different lawsuits against him. So some people think this is an attempt to buy off the judiciary against him, because he's facing many different lawsuits, both federal and state. But again, that doesn't come out in the main media. And my friends tell me about it and give me evidence on it. So,
but this money that went off to Nigeria, Africa, I mean, was that some sort of scam? What the heck was that about?
It was a scam. My friends who work for the state of Washington said that Inslee and the Democratic Party and the legislature refused to put any kind of control, any kind of security over people applying for unemployment benefits. So when this pandemic hit, many people were unemployed and they were all applying for unemployment benefits. And what these criminals in Nigeria did is that they used computers to apply in fake names and have the money sent to a bank in Nigeria. Over $2 billion as a B dollars. That's a lot of money.
But that money, or some of that money's come from the White House, the federal. Won't they then try and get the money back off the state?
I've been told that $250,000 has been returned to the state, and who knows what the rest has gone. We don't know. We just don't know. There's been no coverage of it. I mean, who knows, you know, but I do know my friends have had their work cut by 20-25% for the state. Wow. That Inslee himself has decreed his own salary increase along with all state judges. So it's not right.
Well, Ted, the state employees are hardly likely to vote for their governor now, are they?
I don't think so, no.
Taking a pay cut like that, I mean, many of them will have kids.
Right. They've got kids and they have businesses, and suddenly their expenses are not decreasing by 20-25%.
Oh, of course not. If anything's gone up. You know,
but again, it's not reported in the main media, but I think that's the value of programs like mine and also your Connecting Consciousness, because you try to raise consciousness and you tell people the truth. This is a time of truth where this information is finally getting out, and people should realize that everything is not what it seems on the main media. So, and whenever you make a decision, it's always a good idea to trust your heart mind versus your logical mind. And if something doesn't feel right, then it isn't right, you know? If something is too good to be true, then it's not. It is too good to be true. It is. So anyway, in many ways, all the spirits I've been in contact with the other side, including President Kennedy, would all love to trade places with us now, Simon. And they said that this is the most exciting time in human history. And this planet right now is the most exciting planet to watch from afar, by all these ET groups looking at Earth now. So we're right in the middle of it. And I was told by several astrologists earlier that the time frame from 2015 to 2030 is the most tumultuous, most changing period in human history this century. And of all those years, 2020 is the most challenging. And of 2020, the period from July through December is the most stressful, with November and December being the most problematic in terms of challenges go. We're going to get through it though, and things will get a lot better, but people should just be aware of what astrologically what's the
background. That's very helpful, Ted. That's very, very helpful.
Yeah.
So there is light at the end of the tunnel, basically.
Yeah, there is. And it's not another train coming at you.
No. Well, bless you, Ted. And I just wanted to thank you for doing the shows. You know, when you took the hit back at home, shall we say, and then you had to find a new station.
Yeah.
There might have been some people who would have given up, but you didn't, and you found a new station.
No.
And you just kept back on air.
Yeah.
That's a good example to everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Simon, for saying that. Well, actually, I went on three new stations. I went in San Francisco, Miami, Florida now, and Vienna, Austria, of all places. The Vienna one's getting great ratings, and it's in German and English, and people are very hungry for information. And sometime you'll have to come on my German show.
I'd love to, because we've got, in Connecting Consciousness, we've got members in Austria and we've got members in Germany and Switzerland. And many of them speak, you know, more than one language.
Yeah.
And it would just be really cool to, you know, to be know that I'd be talking to some of those groups specifically there. It'd be lovely. Well done. How interesting.
Yeah.
May I ask, why did you choose Austria?
Well, I had a friend named Maria Petrick who likes my work, and she's a wonderful lady and in Austria, and she invited me and actually Michiko Hayashi on, and it didn't, Michi's been busy, so I decided just to do it on my own, and it worked out really well. But my next show is September 7th, and
I'll try my... That's my birthday. That's my birthday.
Really?
Yes.
Möchten Sie kommt an mein Show in Wien, Austria?
No, because, you know, being ein Berliner is about as much as I'll get out of me.
All right.
So 7th of September is my birthday, so I'm a Virgo.
Well, wonderful. Wonderful. Well, there are some presents on the way. Who knows when you'll get them?
Well,
but
look.
Anyway.
You're talking about what you showed there. Your presents are like snowflakes. They fall when we're least expecting them. They melt our hearts.
That's true. Tell me this, Simon. Are people allowed to get out and about now in England? Can they go out and have a pint, for example?
Yes.
Are restaurants open?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
You don't need to wear a mask if you're in a bar or an English pub or a restaurant. You do not need a mask.
Okay.
But if you're on public transport or you're in a shop buying things, you're required to wear a mask. But you take the mask off as soon as you come out of the shop.
Okay. Well, let's say you're married and you want to stay with your wife for the night. Do you have to have plastic sheets behind you with masks and helmets on? Or
no, but Dr. Fauci might be telling us all to wear goggles next, mightn't he? If he's still employed by the White House, I'm hearing that his employment's probably soon to be terminated.
Oh yeah, that makes me feel warm and fuzzy. You know,
people have asked me about him, and I've said that his knowledge of the virus is second to none, and it was right, in my opinion, it was right for President Trump to take him on board, because nobody else who was prepared to talk to Trump who had that level of knowledge. So Fauci was able, I think, privately to give Trump some very good heads up. We're talking a few months ago now about that virus. But I think that, in my own opinion, Fauci's time is over now, and it's probably best for him to retire.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's been working in government for a long time. He, you know, I saw the craziest post the other day where there was a picture of a fellow in 1918 who allegedly was Fauci, and Fauci had taken some sort of weird anti-aging drink or something.
And I'd love it to be true.
Yeah,
I'd love it to be true. Because if that's true, then there's a drug out there that can keep us all here for much longer.
That's so right.
It shouldn't just be for the elite. It should be for everybody.
Well, absolutely. 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 Simon, I got to ask you a question I before I forget. President Trump has said several times that he had upset rich people, and that he was going to take a few days off. What's behind that? Are they trying to eliminate him again from the many attempts? Or
yes, Loosely, it's to do with the bill he signed regarding the pharmaceuticals, but that actually isn't the real truth here. That's the label that's been given out. Since the last 2 weeks, there have been three attempts. I can't say to kill him, but there have been three attempts, and the last one was a drone attack on Air Force One, and that wasn't like a 12-year-old kid, you know, playing around. That was
I remember that. Yeah,
because these drones could be packed with explosive, and you could try and drive a drone into the side of Air Force One and you make a sizable hole in it. So there have been three attempts. What Trump was saying was that if I have to disappear for a few days, then don't be too concerned about that. He was trying to warn people that he was expecting these issues, he's expecting these problems. And what I can tell you is that he has still maintained his functions. You know, he's done things and gone places, but he's now only giving generally 2 hours notice. So let's say, for instance, he was going to go and open an elementary school or something. I know he wouldn't, but, you know, a governor would do that. But let's just say he would. Whereas before, you might get 4 or 5 days for the press to get organized and all the rest of it. Now it's just giving 2 hours notice. So basically, not even the press are turning up except the ones that have been invited. And that is specifically because there's a very big attempt now to try and get rid of him undemocratically.
Hmm. There was a report I heard on the news last week, Fleiman, and I don't know whether it's true or not, and I don't engage in doom and gloom, but I'd heard that the bubonic plague had been discovered in one or two states.
Yes,
have you
it's
heard
actually,
that?
What's Russia? They found it in Russia, Siberia.
Okay.
There was sheep herds. The guys who look after sheep and goats,
right,
had suddenly tested positive for it, you know, they were sort of in isolation, and it was on the border with China and Russia. And so, yes, that is very true.
Right. Wow. Wow. Well, my friends in the Galactic Alliance have said that if there is a second wave of any kind of virus, that they would step in and eviscerate it. They would make it so that it's not as bad as it could be. I mean, they said the same thing about the coronavirus, too. The coronavirus could have been much worse.
Yeah, we've had a number of viruses, haven't we, over the last few years? We've had quite a number which were supposed to do huge harm, but actually tailed off.
Right.
And when we look back on it, it was all about newspapers and money-making scams. That's what many of those previous viruses were. Uh-huh. You know, if you suddenly have a virus, you know, you should be buying stocks and shares in drug companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. So, you know, it doesn't take a brain... Britain, as we say, to work out that if you're going to do that, you should already have all your stocks and bonds in the drug companies. And so I'm sure that there are people who are very wealthy, but who will retire incredibly wealthy because they invested in this because they just guessed it might happen.
One thing I point out to you too, on your blog, you had a great post on UV light and how that's able to kill off the virus. Huh. And the fact of just summer coming, you know, in the media, in the States anyway, it's the virus is still very much alive. If I were to go over and turn on my radio now, I'd hear about the latest corona deaths, allegedly. But I don't know of anybody who's died from it, frankly, to be honest, or sick from it.
I get a lot of, like you do, a lot of people tell me I'm wrong and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do get information that most people don't get.
Mm-hmm.
And months ago now, I went out and said on my blog, on my show, you know, that UV light kills the virus.
Sure.
And of course, a whole ton of people said to me, that's not possible. And I said, look, if you're in a hot country, Australia, or a hot state, the virus will be much less. And it actually was. But what happened in places like Arizona was when people started mixing in houses, the air conditioning picked up the virus. And that's why so many people got it, because they were in stores where there was infection in the air conditioning or in the house.
Amazing.
And I was saying that sunlight kills the virus. And I got from an old theater, a closing down theater here in Britain, I got an old UV lamp for colored lighting. And every time the mailman came in with, or I got shopping, I used to put that on. Anyway, I bought a toy for one of my cats, and I'm going to show it to you.
Okay.
And it's a toy cat. Okay, it's just a toy cat. It's a, what you guys call a plush toy. We in Britain call a stuffed toy.
Uh-huh.
But look what it says on the label. Can you read that?
It says UV sterile. Oh, interesting. UV sterilized. Fascinating.
There you go.
Wow.
So you heard it from me first months ago, where I said that UV light kills the virus. And now here they've got toys and they are bathing them in ultraviolet light and they're so proud of it, they're putting a sticker on it. So, you know, all those people who said I was mad or I was just talking nonsense. No, I get information just like you do, Ted,
right,
which comes from a source which is accurate. And, you know, I am glad to be able to prove that one aspect there. So
yeah,
somebody in the elite knows all about UV lighting and they're doing that all with their stuffed toys. And probably all these top elite rich men are probably going home from work every day and being bathed in ultraviolet light.
Right, right, right.
Probably.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Well, I look at us getting through this, Simon, we'll look at this. By January, things will get supposed to be a lot better. And then
I'm November the 3rd for me is so important, because who's going to win? Is it going to be those people that control the vast majority of the media,
right,
or is it going to be the real consciousness of humanity? Right. And that's, for me, is a big battle now.
Right.
Small handful of men controlling a $1 billion media campaign, or is it going to be the individual man and woman throughout the United States who see the truth? It'll be very interesting to see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think people are waking up. This is a time of truth. And I look at what's happening now, like the Battle of the Bulge in November of 1944, where the negative entities are trying to win the war, and they've already lost it. So basically, no matter what they do, it's what Data said in Star Trek, you know, resistance is futile. So anyway.
I the difference with the Borg and the difference with the Battle of the Bulge was you knew who your enemy was.
That's true.
The situation now is the media are doing this in a way that it's not obvious who the enemy is, because if you know who your enemy is, then you can deal with it.
Right.
But the way the media is doing it is they're trying to portray good people as the enemy. And that's what the BBC were trying to do with me, trying to portray me as the evil person. Don't go to him because he's evil. And this is the way that these devious minds are working. So, you know, it's a real test for humanity, Ted.
Wonderful. Yeah, absolutely. My producer just gave me an extra hour. How nice of him. Thank you.
Well, you'll have to go without your cup of tea. Well, it's my hour's up. So listen, it's always lovely to speak to you, Ted. You know that.
Oh, yeah. It's great to talk to you too, Simon. And expect some presents in the mail.
That's very kind of you, Ted.
And I want everyone to send lots of love and light to Simon. I'm familiar with the facts of the BBC case. In my opinion, it was unjustified what they did. But now it'll be played out in a court of law, and I know I'm sure you'll be treated fairly by the courts there to get to.
Well, it'll be very interesting, won't it? We wait and see, but, you know, I'm not going to be pushed around any longer, Ted. I'm not going to be pushed around. And so, you know, we'll just see where it goes. And, you know, the love and the kindness of good people everywhere must give me the strength. It must give me the strength to carry on. And,
right,
and that's all I've ever asked for people, just love and strength and kindness. And if they can put the odd dollar in, because unfortunately these lawyers don't do it for love. They never do it for love. They do it for money.
Well,
you know, that's the way it is here, isn't it?
I don't want to criticize the legal profession too much in my home state here in Washington State, but you would think with all that, we have, like, I think there's 20,000 members of the bar here, 20 or 30. I can't remember. There's a lot. But you would think with all those tens of thousands of lawyers in the state, one would stand up against the shutdowns and the mask requirements. And it very, very, we're talking three or four, if that, have stood up against it. And so I've been very disappointed. But there was a case a couple of weeks ago where a federal judge in Tacoma, Washington, ruled that all of our governor's orders regarding masks and social distancing were completely illegal. Was that in the media here? Nothing, absolutely nothing. But no.
When Gisela Maxwell, when she got taken to court,
mm-hmm,
that wasn't reported at all, and she was only in court for just a few minutes, just to give her name and her details.
Right. Right.
But that wasn't covered in the main media at all.
Right. Nothing was.
No, and you're thinking, you know, that shows over maybe 30, 40, 50 years, how these very, very evil people have controlled everything over that period, taken them that length of time.
Right.
So that a key piece of news is not even deemed relevant for people's lives. And yet we could see somebody flipping a pancake, or we could see somebody buying a new pair of shoes, and that's given top priority. And that's what they want to fill people's heads with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people are not getting the news they deserve.
Right, Right. Well, I think that'll change in the future.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so, because the news is boring at the moment.
Yeah.
Boring.
If you went to a
kindergarten and you said, what do you want to hear about? Do you want to hear about Fluffy the bunny who goes out into the sunshine, has a happy day? Or do you want to hear about this real desperate, sad case? And kids who have not yet been controlled and worn down by the media, they want to hear about Fluffy the bunny. Well, do you know what? Adults are exactly the same. I don't want to hear about bad news. I've got enough of it myself. Right. I actually want good news. I want to hear that there's good in the world. And, you know, I'm sick of this and bad news sells newspapers. Actually, it doesn't. What sells newspapers is balanced news. And what people of the world are not getting is balanced news. That's the bottom line here.
Right. I'll never forget the time I'd scheduled an interview with a local television station in Seattle back in It was May of 2014.
Oh, okay.
And I had, everybody was expecting doom and gloom because our scientists here had said that for months that there was a huge plume of radioactive of waste in the water coming to the shores of North America and Canada, the United States,
that.
Mexico. Mm-hmm. At that time. So what I did is that I collected water samples and I sent them off to laboratories to be tested. And our governor here, who was still Inslee at the same time, he shut down all the radiation testing laboratories in the state. So nobody was doing it here. So I sent it to Governor Brown in California, who agreed to do it for free since our governor here wasn't cooperating. And I got to give him credit. That was nice of him to do that. Didn't charge us anything. And I got the results back, and guess what? There was no radiation, nothing there. And it never did hit Washington or Canada or Mexico. And the good news was that it didn't hit us because the Galactic Alliance had stepped in and cleaned up about 95-98% of the radiation. So we weren't getting it. And so I had scheduled this press conference, and this television crew came down from this station in Seattle, and they were all ready to shoot me. And then I said, well, I don't have bad news. I've got good news. Here's the test results from Governor Brown in California, and there's no radiation now on the coast. It's been cleaned up. And they got upset, and they said, well, we only do bad news. And I said, why? They said, well, if you talked about a car accident where people were harmed and whatnot, we'd run it, but not good news. We don't run good news.
It's interesting that they actually were open enough to tell you, you know, what their instructions were from whoever right. manages them.
Right.
So
right.
if that's what they know, then you can understand that they will then go out and seek bad news. And then when they don't get enough bad news, they create it. And yeah. here's where we get the vicious cycle, where they'll right. pay people to go out and do something bad, then they'll just be on hand magically to cover it. And one thing leads to another. And that's what we've got. We haven't got a news reporting organization. We've got a news creating organization. And that's exactly what these
right.
totalitarian right. states do. They create an emergency and then they manage it. And, you know, that's what Adolf Hitler did when he burnt down their lawmaking building, the Reichstag.
Right.
You know,
right.
he was ready with letters to go out immediately that it all was, you know, magically, as soon as it had been declared and the flames were coming out the top of the roof,
right.
suddenly all of these letters, all these bills and laws were brought out. They've been working on it for weeks. And when you look at media in your country and my country, you understand that these were planned months ago.
Well, getting back to that, in my book on pages, let's see, about 142 and 143 are the reports
Oh.
from the laboratories showing no radiation in my book. So I proved it. I've got scientists to back it up too. Wow. So, I mean, and there's still no radiation appearing from Fukushima. There is some radiation coming from the nuclear reactors off of Japan, but the Galactics have told me they keep it running a little bit of radiation to remind people not to use nuclear energy because it's banned in all other human civilizations outside of this earth. It's too dangerous, it's just not used.
Yes, and the reason they don't need it is because they have alternative forms of power,
right,
which
right.
is being suppressed here for money reasons, and it's only money reasons.
Right.
You know, that's what we have to. So Ted, I'd better let you go because we've gone
okay.
over the hour.
Okay.
The dog did come up and wanted to say hello. There she is. She's desperate to say hello because The cats steal the show here. Oh. And so there's not a single cat in this room, I don't think.
Oh.
The dog decided that she would very quickly come on and just remind listeners that there is a dog in this house. So well, listen, God bless to you and all your listeners, Ted, and
oh, well,
viewers, thanks. Of course. I keep forgetting that you've got a visual now. I've got a video.
Thank you, my friend. The time now is 11:11 a.m., which is an angelic number.
Wow. Look at that. That was just, look, that's my llamas crossing the bridge again, isn't it?
Yeah. It's perfect. So I've got lots of things to talk about. And Simon, good luck with your suit. I know you're going to win. And please, if you like, please visit his website at www.simonparks.org. And I know he'll appreciate your support. So
God bless Simon, to you. Thanks ever so much.
Take care, my friend. Bye-bye. Have a wonderful day. Say hi to your dogs and cats for us.
I will.
All right. Thanks so much. That was my good friend Simon Parks coming to us live from England.
Hikaru hoshi.